for tapes of end time meetings, deliverance services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Thursday afternoon, December 29th, 1977. Midwinter camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp, Hot Springs, Arkansas. Wynn Worley is the speaker of the afternoon. Should this tape for any reason be defective, please explain and return to Post Office Box 516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71901 for replacement.
Now this afternoon, I haven't said anything about this because this is not a book-selling tour or anything, but if you haven't seen these two books, this contains nearly everything I know. This is the red face book, we call it. You may have seen it with a blue cover because New Leaf has started pushing it across the country and it's got a dark blue cover, but the insides are the same. Now, they printed on cheaper paper so it looks thicker, but it's the same book because they photographed from my book plates. But Battling the Host of Hell, and this is the sequel, Conquering the Host of Hell. The camp has them here, and we would encourage you to get these books and study them. The biggest complaint that we've had is, especially on this one, they say, I picked up that stupid book, and I couldn't stop reading it. I kept saying, I got to go to bed, and I'll read just two more pages, and then they just kept going. So that's a pretty good complaint, wouldn't you say? Amen. And one lady, I went to a meeting someplace, I don't remember, and she said, I got a hold of that black book. And said, my lands, I started reading, and the next thing you know, I got deathly sick. I ran into the bathroom and threw up. I came back, started reading again. I had to run to the bathroom, so I kept running back and forth, back and forth. And so the Holy Spirit has really anointed the truth that's in here. Now, it isn't Wynn Worley's truth. This is simply what the Bible says. This book is being used, thank God, to convince people that Christians can have demons. There have been preachers convinced this. They pulled their Greek and Hebrew out and started running references, and they said, good Lord, he's right. And that's pretty good, isn't it? Now, I'm not smart enough to do that. The Lord did that, and I don't take any credit for it. I put the things together, wrote down what had happened, and, of course, I had some help from those smart aleck kids in my church bringing me all these nifty little things that I had never seen, but I would have thought of it if I had taken time. But seriously, this book is, and these two books are full of gleanings of the truth that we've found in deliverance. It's not the whole thing. It's not comprehensive at all. It's just a gathering together of many things that help you understand what is happening in the spiritual conflict. And a lot of the things are just starters. They're just teasers. I put enough about the spirits of God in there to make your brain wheel start spinning if you got any that'll spin. And get the rust off of them and send you to concordances and start whopping the daylights out of the devil. So I would encourage you, if you're interested in this ministry, I would encourage you to get these books and peruse them or borrow them. It's up to you. By the way, if you want to make a lot of money, don't plan to write a book to do it. That's not the way it's done. But praise the Lord, it is the best way to get them out, I know of. Somebody said, well, why didn't you put this on tapes? Well, it would cost you probably to get the material in the black book. If that had been put on tapes, you'd buy $80 or $90 worth of tapes, depending on how much the tapes cost you. To have the same amount of material you can get for $3. Isn't that better? It's also easier to refer back to a book. Now, if I'd been trying to make money, I would have restricted it to tapes only and copyrighted the tapes and all this sort of thing. But I'm just saying that this is a textbook. It'll help you. Conquering the Host of Hell has some new things. The testimonies have been encouragements to many. And the third book is already coming together. The testimonies are already coming in from Maine, from California, and, of course, naturally from the Chicago area where we are located. And if you have a significant testimony on deliverance about how God changed your life through deliverance, if you'll write it down, or even better, just put it on a cassette tape and send it to me. I'll put it together. Don't try to get it in any particular order. I'll mess it up anyway when I start putting it together. But I'll be glad to include it if it has some significant truth that will help somebody else get free. One of the blessings in the books has been the testimonies. The second book has even more testimonies than the first book. I think there are 50 maybe in the second book. And the testimonies have been used to encourage people across the country and in 14 foreign countries that we know about to seek deliverance because the symptoms that they read about in the books were the same as the person was being tormented with. Isn't that encouraging? And since the devil works the same everywhere, well, the symptoms are going to be the same. Demons do and say the same thing everywhere. Somebody asked me to be especially sure to bind spirits over the camp before we begin this meeting. That's probably a good idea because I plan to stir the devil's nest a bit today. And so let's just bow our heads for just a moment. Satan, in the name of Jesus Christ, I come against you in the authority and power of the risen Lord, Jesus Christ. I am seated in the heavenlies, in Christ Jesus, high above principalities and powers, high above Satan himself, high above every dominion and power that rules and reigns in this wicked world. And I come against every wicked spirit that would be here to confuse, to distract, to disturb, every spirit of pain or sickness that might cause somebody to be distracted from the truth they need to hear today. I bind you in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. And by binding, I mean that you're not to harass, you're not to torment, you're not to drive anyone in this building. In the name of Jesus Christ, I so order it to be done. Father, in Jesus' name, I ask you to loose the spirits of truth, to loose the spirits of understanding, to loose the spirits of wisdom, to loose all the spirits of God that will help your people to come free and to receive the glorious truth of freedom in Christ Jesus, that they may praise him, that they may honor him in a way they have never been able to do since they were born again. And for this we will give you thanks and praise. And Lord, would you move in mighty power to destroy and disrupt the work of the enemy wherever he's built up a wall. We claim the power of God to destroy it in Jesus' name. I believe it might be wise at this point to do what we call clear the underbrush. Now, in deliverance, we have found that the reason most people who desire to speak in tongues, for example, but cannot, the reason is there's an occult root that's hidden somewhere that has to be ferreted out. We've had amazing success in people receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit at our little church. Now, this doesn't reflect any credit on us. Many of them had been many places and had prayed for many people. But the thing that had never been done for these people, they had never been led to renounce the occult and to forgive the people who had hurt and disappointed them. And these two areas will block a complete moving of the Holy Spirit upon a person. Notice I said a complete. It'll block complete healing. It will block complete deliverance. And in some cases, it's strong enough to block any of it. It just depends on how strong the bondage may be. Now, I could go into a discussion of how a Christian can have a demon. It's spelled out in Scripture. People say, show me a Scripture that says a Christian can have a demon. My first answer is, show me one that says they can't, because there isn't any. However, there are scriptures that definitely indicate it. Galatians is the strongest one. If you have received any spirit other than the spirit that you received when we were there, Paul says. I don't know how much plainer you have to be. He's talking to believers. He's not talking to a bunch of heathen out in the worshiping out in the temple somewhere. He's talking to people who have been saved. He said, if you receive another gospel, if you receive another Jesus, if you receive another spirit which you have not received. And we talked about the spirits of God and the spirits of the evil one yesterday. Now, there is a curse that comes on those who dabble with the occult. There also is a great blockage in the area of forgiveness. Now, Jesus taught us to pray, "Forgive us our trespasses as or with the same measure that we forgive those who trespass against us." That's the model prayer. That's not the Lord's Prayer. The Lord's Prayer is found in the 17th chapter of John. But the model prayer, in which he gave us all the elements of correct praying, and I don't know that it's any particular value to repeat it word for word, although I guess it's all right, but that's mainly to give us all the elements of it. You can expand on it. But we pass over lightly, "Forgive us our trespasses, and we forgive those who trespass against us," and we just scoot over just about like that. And it means just about that much to us. And every one of us have been hurt and disappointed by those that we loved and trusted through our lives from the time we were children. For instance, some of you came up in a home, and maybe your parents were very poor. Somebody said God must have loved poor folks. He made so many of them. But a lot of people are not wealthy in this world's goods. And maybe you can remember, you came dashing into the house one time when you were a little girl, something of this order. "Mama, can I have a new dress? Susie down the street got a new dress. And I want a new dress too." And poor Mama was trying to figure out how in the world she could make the little dab of food they had stretched till Dad's next payday, and he was being laid off. And didn't know where the next house payment was coming from. And blown two tires on the car, and they had all kinds of problems pressing on them. And Mama snapped at her and said, "No, child, don't be silly." And you went off, you were hurt. Now that you grew up, you understand that, but you didn't understand it at the time, and that hurt was there. You see, we need to teach even children to forgive so these things don't build up, because they're cumulative. They build up. And hurts and disappointments through life build up. Mothers and dads disappoint and hurt their children. Sometimes they can't help it, sometimes they can. Grandparents and relatives are often close enough to you to hurt you or disappoint you. Preachers and teachers do a good job of it sometimes. They can really wound somebody deeply. Boy, husbands and wives are experts. And children can just tear the heart out of a parent. And of course, what you do, you just simply say, I've gotten over that, you know. That's what you say. But every time you think about it, it hurts. And the very fact that you hurt when you remember it indicates there's an open, raw sore there that's hurting. And it has not been healed. The bitterness has taken root. And roots of bitterness pollute and disturb what God wants to do in your life. Now, Jesus didn't just say, "Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us," and give that to us as a model prayer just to be nice and religious. It's an absolute essential, because the spirits that cause cancer and the spirits that cause arthritis are both rooted in bitterness, unforgiveness, and resentment that comes out of those experiences in life. Now, immediately when I say that, some people kind of look at me in horror and say, "Whoa, back up. My mama was the sweetest person on earth. Lovely person. And she died with cancer. Don't you tell me she had evil spirits." Well, now, you don't think God made that cancer, do you? And the reason you say, "Well, old brother so-and-so, he is the nicest fellow ever was, always doing something for somebody. He died all crippled up with arthritis." That's right. You're right on target. Because the people who are gentle and a sweet and giving of themselves are the ones who get hurt the most. And they seldom talk about it to anybody else or to God. They just kind of grin and bear it. And it provides the soil out of which those terrible spirits grow. Now I've got everybody's attention. Because nobody wants arthritis or cancer. This is one way to make you really get interested in doing what the Lord says. You know, this is known as motivation. Amen. Don't you feel motivated to find out about forgiveness now? Amen. All right. Now, but seriously, there are other things I'm sure that are rooted in these things too. But these two in particular, we've found over and over again, are rooted into this. Now remember this, demons root in only one place in you. That's in the old sin nature. In 1 John, it's quite explicit that that new man has no dealings with the evil. But when you got saved, you became a split personality. You have the old sin nature and the old body you always lived in, but a new nature from God slipped in alongside of there. And I know these people cry with holy horror, how could a demon dwell in a place where the Holy Spirit is? And that sounds so religious it convinces a lot of people. But let me ask you this. How do you think the Holy Spirit can stand to live alongside that old sin nature? You think that's any petunia patch? The old sin nature is as rotten as any demon that ever was hatched. You say, oh, I've got mine sanctified out. Is that so? I'd like to talk to your wife. Let's don't be hypocritical. We're to crucify the old nature. Paul, toward the end of his life, said, I have not yet attained, but I press toward the mark. Brother, sister, Paul hadn't attained. I'm not too impressed with these little Pauls running around. They're not doing what Paul did, and he hadn't attained. Like I tell demons sometimes, they manifest and they'll say, my name is Lucifer, or my name is Satan. And I said, is that so? Well, I'll tell you one thing. If the big boy showed up, I'd expect balls of fire to come out of the ceiling, at least. You know, I'd expect something more than just a little dab like that. Besides that, I said, do you think I'm so stupid and so prideful that I would think Satan would take off from his business of running his universe, his wicked universe, to come down and fool with a peanut like me when he's got princes and everybody else who can do war with me? That's the height of pride. Say, Satan appeared to me, baloney, probably a minor demon. You didn't know the difference because he said so. I found people that got all puffed up, thought they met Satan face to face. Well, you probably met one of his small bulldogs. Maybe a little chihuahua and you thought it was the big boy. I don't know. But seriously, we need to understand that God wants to set us free. The old sin nature, the remedy is to crucify it with Christ. Bible study. Prayer, in the understanding and in the spirit, songs, hymns, spiritual songs, fellowship with other believers, hearing the word of God, prophecy, revelation, all the genuine flowing of the Holy Spirit will strengthen that inner man, and everything that strengthens the inner man will crucify the old nature. You won't have to stop and think if it's being done or not. If you're strengthening the new man, he's busy putting the old one down. But I'll guarantee you, if a demon has gained a foothold in your body, mind, or spirit, and he can lodge anywhere in those, you'll not get him out because he will not crucify. And you can square things with God, but it won't be squared with him. He'll say, that's just tough about that. That's taken care of, but that doesn't affect me. Because you see, the remedy for dealing with demons is to kick them out in Jesus' name. Now, what we have today in the fundamental Bible-believing groups, whether they're charismatic or not, they're running around and memorizing Scripture, and they're praying, and they're doing, boy, I mean, they're doing battle with the devil, they think. He's fighting flesh mainly, but I mean, you know, they think that's what they're doing. And this never-ending battle goes on because they are trying to use the remedy for crucifying the flesh on the demons, and it won't work. See, there's two problems. The old nature, that's to be dealt with by crucifixion with Christ. And it'll work real fine. But if a demon's there, he just still rears up. Said, you didn't ring my bell. I don't obey that kind of stuff. Oh, he may be irritated. He may be inhibited somewhat. He may be slowed down a little bit. But he's not stopped by any means, and he certainly doesn't come out because of that. But the remedy for him is to kick him out in Jesus' name. Amen. One remedy, you can't kick the old sin nature out. Neither can you crucify the demon. Use the remedy that God designed for each one. Now, in forgiveness, you must forgive. It's not optional. Let me stress that. This is not something you can pick and choose and say, well, I want to be nice, so I'm going to forgive, or I
feel kind of stinking, so I'm not going to do that. I mean, if you want to be square with God, it's absolutely essential. By the way, when you're dealing with demons, we only recently learned this from Norman Parrish, who came in from Guatemala. Not only break curses when you're dealing in deliverance, but also break all legal holes and all legal grounds. There are some things that are not technically curses, but they offer footwork for the demons, and you can destroy those with the blood. The other thing that is a real source of bondage, an extremely dangerous area, is that of the occult. Now, let me mention some things that are occult. First of all, let me say that the occult carries a curse to the third and fourth generation from God. That's from God. Now, that's not from the devil. The devil might not be able to carry out all his stuff, but God's quite capable, wouldn't you say? Now, this is so serious. The devil has drawn a blank across it and kept it from being preached in the churches for many, many years. It's there. It's spelled out carefully. In Exodus, the 20th chapter, 3rd through the 5th verses, you'll find a curse pronounced on those who have other gods to the 3rd and 4th generation. What most people don't realize is they never stop to analyze it. There are only two sources of supernatural knowledge in the world. One is the Word of God, enlightened and taught by the Holy Spirit of God. And if you don't get your supernatural knowledge through that channel, the only other channel it can come through is through Satan. And he does this by means of the occult. And every genuine thing that God has or that God is doing in the spirit realm has a counterfeit demonic activity operating by Satan. Every one of the gifts is counterfeited by Satan. And the mere existence of the counterfeit just proves there's a reality. The fact that there are false tongues is simply proof that there is a real thing that Satan is trying to counterfeit. By the way, a counterfeit, the definition is a cheap imitation of the real thing. And boy, the devil's imitations are really cheap. When we were in Guatemala, we bought a ring, which we thought was turquoise and set in sterling silver, for my daughter. And she was very proud of it. And when I got ready to come down here, she said, "Dad, the little pieces come out of my ring, and I'm afraid I'm going to lose the stone out of it. So would you take it to that man in Arkansas and see if he can fix it?" Because she really treasures that ring, because we brought it back far from Guatemala. So I brought it to Jay, and he ruined it. He was going to sort it or something, and he said it turned black because it was made out of iron. And he said the stone was plastic. Well, you know, that's the way the devil's things are. They kind of look good if you don't know much about it. And when Jay looked at it, he said, "When?" He said, "That's not a turquoise stone." I said, "It's not." I said, "No, that's plastic." I said, "Well, that's funny. It looked like turquoise to me." Of course, that's the way they fixed it. They intended for that to what it looked like, you know. But that's the way the devil's things are. You see, they look like the real thing unless you know much about it, unless you put them to the test. If you put it to the test of fire, it'll show up for what it is, a counterfeit. Now, let me mention this. You do not have to sleep in bed with somebody who has smallpox to get the disease. All you have to do is walk in and touch the sheets. You see what I'm saying? Because a lot of people will say, "Well, you know, yeah, I did dabble with that once when I was a kid, but, you know, I just dropped it, or it never did work for me, and I just walked away from it and forgot about it. Or maybe I was involved in all that stuff, but when I got saved, boy, I put all that stuff away." And they think that's all right. Well, it's good you put it away, but there's some things you didn't put away. It's still there. Now, Satan is a legal expert. When you or somebody else opens the door who has authority, the demons will flock in if you give them an open door. We dealt with a woman, and this terrible occult spirit was in her. It was a fortune-telling spirit. And yet, I don't think the woman had been to fortune-telling necessarily. And I asked that thing, I said, "When did you come in?" And he said, "When she was 3 years old." And I said, "Oh, come on.
I started to play fun and games. You know, a three-year-old child wouldn't go to a fortune teller. He reared up, he looked at me and said, "Well, shut your mouth, Worley, I'm telling the truth." Well, that's refreshing, you know, for one of them to tell the truth, but they usually lie. But he said, "Why should I lie about it?" Said, "Her father took her to a fortune teller with him and said he was her authority. You know that, Worley." Boy, a cold chill went over me because that's true. Her daddy was an unsaved man. Took her with him when he went to a fortune teller, and that evil spirit got into that three-year-old child because her daddy uncovered her. Are you listening to me, Dad?
Amen.
You better learn how to get in the spiritual saddle, because all this stuff you're going to be accountable for before God. He was her covering, and boy, her umbrella had holes in it. And that woman was tormented all her life long by that vile spirit till she got delivered from that thing, came in when she was 3 years old. Now, that child was exposed. When you get exposed to these things, they'll take. Derek Prince said, and I think he's right, the devil is no gentleman. He will come in at the slightest opportunity, and he has to be kicked out in Jesus' name. He will not leave voluntarily. All right, let me mention some things in the occult. If you've ever touched these things, or if they've been in your family, chances are you're wide open for occult spirits. By the way, these things travel in bunches. They don't like to go solo. The more the merrier is their cry. And they'll want to lead you to the other one, too. If you notice that, people get dabbling with this, and then they go to that, and then they go to the other. Just leads you a little deeper. The Ouija board. Boy, how many people has that put under occult subjection? And we're down here in the good old Southland. Water witching. If I had a well, I didn't know whether it was witched for or not, I'd sure pray over it before I drank any more water out of it. You say, "Oh, preacher." I would. So it hadn't hurt me yet. Well, maybe. Don't take any chances of these things. They're too dangerous. Won't take you but a minute to pray. Anoint it with oil and dedicate that well to Jesus Christ. Command any spirits and that'll leave. You've got authority. Use it. Sorcery of any kind. Automatic writing. Handwriting analysis. Fortune telling of any kind. That's tea leaves. That's crystal balls. That's palm reading. Card laying. Tarot. All the rest of that. Horoscopes and astrology. Did you ever read your horoscope in the newspaper just for fun? To laugh at how silly it is? It's not a laughing matter. It's dangerous as all get out. If you've read them for fun, if I were you, I'd include it in my list. I think I'd put them in. You see, the devil has been so sly, he's gotten into things. You say, "Well, that sounds so silly and so picky. I'd rather renounce something that wasn't there than to miss one that was."
Amen.
It's not going to hurt you to renounce it, but it sure will hurt you if you overlook it. Witchcraft of any kind, white, gray, or black. Hypnosis under any pretense or reason, medical or whatever. Acupuncture. That's the old Chinese witch doctor's method. ESP. That's scientific, you say. It sure is. It'll get you into more hot water than you can get out of. You'll never get out of it without Jesus. Levitation. Did you ever go someplace where they're lifting people with their fingers, you know? Isn't that fun? Then you ever wonder why it worked? You say, "Well, I didn't do it. I was in the room where it happened. I'd include it if I was you." Because so many times we're so gullible, you know, we open up wide and those things just come rushing in, and then they lay low and we don't even know they're there until they start manifesting a few years later. Some of them are laying low on you and won't manifest till you get much older. You know why some preachers go haywire and run off with somebody's wife? Because they've got lust spirits in them that were never dealt with. And the devil waits till they climb up where they can influence a lot of people, and then that lust spirit explodes, takes over, and they go off and wreck not only a marriage, but a whole church. Don't you see that deliverance is so essential, it's just not optional, it's got to be? The devil's got his fifth column already in place in the churches to destroy. If they ever start getting off the ground spiritually, the devil will shoot them down from within. He'll have the legions explode inside those people who don't even know they've got them. They got like time bombs sitting in there. And the minute that church starts moving, they'll start exploding in the preacher, the deacons, and everybody else that's been living just model lives. Been overcomers, victorious. And then all of a sudden, they're the scum of the earth. The devil knows what he's doing. And friend, he's got them stationed in every church. If you don't believe it, when I went to Brother Carroll's church, he'd already stirred up a hornet's nest down there before I got there. And I went over there right behind him, and I beat on the nest some more. And I told him, I said, Brother Carroll, you're going to have a shelling out here right shortly. I said, there's some of your folks, they're here, but they're not with you. I saw him about a month later, heard from him. He said, you're right. Said, there's a bunch of them left already. But I said, they'll come in to fill in, and they did. You see, the church is not strong because of this honeycombing of evil that's inside. And the people who have it don't know it. They're sincere. They have no idea that these evil things are in them. Because they would deal with it. They're not hypocrites. They genuinely want to be used of the Lord. Don't you see? You talk about sly. Hasn't the devil pulled a fast one? And if you were working to destroy the work of God, where would you start? In the churches. And get in the fundamental ones that are believing the Bible, because the others are already gone anyhow. They're not giving any trouble anyhow. Just getting those that are alive and blow them apart. Horoscopes, witchcraft of any kind, hypnosis, levitation, clairvoyance. Did you ever see things ahead of time, you know? Thought it was a gift from God? Isn't it funny that you always saw wrecks and sickness and broken necks and broken arms and things like that? Hardly ever see anything good. You know why? Because when you see things ahead like that, the demons arrange it. They tell you it's going to happen, then they run out there and arrange it. And they arrange rotten things a whole lot better than they arrange good things. I guess they could arrange good things if they wanted to, but they prefer to arrange rotten things. Accidents, sickness, death. They love to arrange those things. And then you say, yeah, that's what Aunt Matilda said. She said that's what was coming. Clairvoyance, renounce it. If it's a gift from God, renouncing it in Jesus' name won't hurt a thing. If it's devilish, it'll blow it wide apart. Now, I'll tell you something else. Some people don't want to give these things up. Because all kinds of witchcraft is based on power. ESP. Why would people want to be ESP? Because they want to dabble in other people's minds. Power. And I've met people who didn't want to give up their ESP. Even when they knew it was evil. Mediums, did you ever go to a seance? You got them. Charms. Oh, boy. I had my thing laid out to bring to you to show you the old hex designs that are coming into fashion today. One of the new Corningware designs has an old hex symbol on it. It's going into thousands of homes. Beautiful little flowers, and it's a hex sign. Stay with the old blue one. Don't get in that new thing, gals. Because some of them have got hex signs on them. They really have. The old Dutch hex signs. And they're putting it in jewelry, too, you know. They even got one in Hebrew that goes across there. The new book lists a lot of them. The Ankh, you know. Every once in a while we have somebody come to our church and a lady come down for prayer. And, of course, our people are kind of gun-shy, I guess. They look for jewelry. They look at all the jewelry. They examine everything got around their neck. Boy, they start praying. Because they've learned that you can't break across some of that stuff. Somebody was praying here the other night, had a cross on. And they made no headway until that cross was taken off. Be careful. The Ankh is a cross with a loop on top. It belongs to the old Egyptian fertility goddess. And it's a lust symbol. A lot of Christians wear it thinking it's a Christian cross. Maybe I'll just drop crosses out of your vocabulary. It's empty anyhow. Amen. I mean, you don't need those things, do you? I mean, if you've got to wear a cross to prove you are a Christian, there's something wrong, isn't it? Stay with your dove if you want to get something. I mean, not anybody going to think that's a buzzard, are they? Now, if you got a cross, don't get mad at me. I mean, that's up to you and the Lord. But the devil is really foisting off a lot of foolishness on people today. Yes, he is. Enchantments of any kind, curses, fetishes. If you ever dabbled around dated around with people that were fooling around witchcraft, you may have picked up a love potion on you. That'll put you so much lust in you, you won't believe. Somebody hits you with a love potion, and what it is a lust potion. We've broken those things out of I don't know how many people who went out of control sexually because of a love potion that was put on. Now, Edgar Casey, warlock, extraordinary. If you studied the books of Edgar Casey, you got them. Just like dogs got fleas, you got them. No doubt about it. If you studied his books trying to seek enlightenment, boy, I'll tell you, you'll pick them up. Jean Dixon, witch. She's an extraordinary witch. Well, I mean, you know, you're a Christian. Most of you, I presume, are Christians here, if not all of you. You know a little bit about the Bible, you'd say. If a snake crawled in bed with you and wrapped around you and then gazed into your eyes and said, look to the east for your knowledge, would you think that was God talking to you? She did. Would you go to a crystal ball and cards to get your information? She does. She didn't know the Lord from a lizard. She goes to church every day, but she doesn't know the Lord. She's a witch. And if you've studied her books, a lot of people study. You know, a lot of people, they're starving. They're trying to find out something. Before they find the Bible and the Word of God, they'll grasp into this stuff, and that's how you pick up the spirits, digging in that. Just like digging, well, it's just like digging in a manure pile. You're going to get some of it on you. Just because you walked away from the manure pile, everybody that comes close to you, they say, what's wrong with you? You got something on you that doesn't smell very good, you know? And doesn't smell like perfume. Eastern religions. A lot of people go off into Eastern religions. Transcendental meditation. Boy, that's the open, that's the super highway for mind control to grab hold. And right close behind it, running a close second to get mind control, is karate. The power behind karate is strictly demons. You say, oh, what do you think I got this split across my eye up here? Karate chop from a Moody Bible Institute preacher who had just come back from a missionary tour in Germany. He came up to me and he said, Pastor Worley, he said, you know, I got tangled up in karate before I found out what was wrong with it. I think I better get rid of it. I said, all right, son, sit down here. So we started talking and it was very ugly. It cussed me out and used some expressions I won't repeat. And they weren't complimentary. And so finally he ripped the hand loose and he chopped me across the eye here. And it laid this eye open about 3 or 4 inches like that. And blood came down out of my head and I was kind of stunned. But I just moved back to where he didn't get any help out of. The workers just moved in on him. Like a bunch of bulldogs, they just moved right in, kept him. He didn't get even a minute's rest, but he got the satisfaction of whopping me over the eye, you know. And one of the boys said, oh, it's going to take 3 or 4 stitches to close that eye. He's just sick about it, you know. Well, I got a Polish Catholic man, used to be a Catholic, and he's one of our elders, and he fell about the size of Glenn here, you know, about big as a washing soap. And He jumped up there and he was just real angry because that thing had hit his pastor. And so he said, no, he's not. That boy said, he's going to have to take stitches to close that eye. No, he's not, Wynn. Sit down over here. Well, I mean, he took that tone. I mean, I sat down, you know, on the platform. He sat down beside me and he was angry. He was just so mad. And he said, now, blood, you stop in Jesus' name. And boy, it just went, and just, I think it stopped halfway down my face even. And then he said, and he took the eye and he just, it was all hanging open, you know. And he pushed it together and he said, now you stay and you stay right there and you heal right now in Jesus' name. Now, I don't know whether that's orthodox or not, but that's what he did. And you know something? It stuck. And he said, now everybody that pain in his head, you leave right now. And it just went like a bird going off my head. Then he turned to me and said, now go wash your face, Wynn. And very obediently, I got up and I went back to the washroom. And, well, I mean, you know, I was just sitting there and I washed my face. I came back and just had a little red line. Did you know that eye, that It was never bruised. It was never sore. It never bled another drop. I could push around on it, and it wouldn't even come apart. And, of course, having a little bit of a teeny-weeny mean streak in me, I walked back over to that demon. And I said, "How do you like my eye?" And he screamed at me and cussed and said, "I meant to knock your head off." I said, "Well, you just don't get to do everything you want to, do you?" And you know, the instant healing of that eye convinced a lot of people that were visiting it, like they were like this. Our people are praising the Lord, of course, but some of the visitors, they couldn't hardly handle it. You say, "Well, why did he hit you?" Well, one thing, so God could heal it on the spot and just show people how powerful he is. Well, I've been pitched across the church, been bitten and everything else, and that, but I'm in pretty good shape. The Lord can fix anything the devil unfixes, and after all, soldiers getting a scrap, they liable to get a scratch now and then. Nothing serious. Nothing permanent, of course. So karate is definitely that. Yoga. Don't even do the exercises, people. There's something about the yoga exercise that opens you up to demon power. I don't understand it, but those contortions of the body open you up to the demons. Now, I know this is true. We've talked to too many spirits. One time, there was a girl sitting on the front pew, and I walked over to her. She'd come up for deliverance. And I asked the kids, I said, "What's she got?" I said, "Well, she's been into yoga." I said, "Well, we'll just start with that." I said, "Okay, yoga." And she jumped right straight up and ended up on that seat in a lotus position. Now, I don't know how she did. We like never got her legs unlocked. I mean, she jumped just right off the seat. I mean, I've seen them do some real weird things. That lotus position, by the way, is a perfect triangle, you know? Makes a triangle out of your body. You sit that way in karate, too. A black belt who came and got delivered over in California told me, he said, "Pastor," said, "you're right about that lotus position." Said, "That opens you up in your sex organs." And he said, "I could feel the demons rush into me when we were going into the meditation sessions in karate." Said, "I'd be so steamed up sexually after I went through one of those things, I'd go looking for somebody." And they're teaching gals this for natural childbirth. They're teaching it in physical education classes to sit in the lotus position. And that is opening them up for demons. By the way, a lady who came to our church for deliverance, who used to teach mind control, she asked for projection. She could close her eyes and be in the Himalayas or Europe or wherever she wanted to go. All she had to do was just close her eyes and she was there. She's good at it. Of course, she renounced all that, thank God, and been set free. But she told me, she said, "When the way the psychics charge their batteries, when they get tired, they don't necessarily go to sleep." She said, "When I used to get tired, I'd take a thumbtack, put it up in a door, top of a doorway, and run a string down each side, making a triangle, and then I'd sit in the lotus position underneath it, and tremendous energy would pour through my body until I was all refreshed like I'd been sleeping all night long." And she said, "I ran on that kind of energy for many years." And so that's the way the psychics do it. Would you say that the lotus position and the yoga exercises just might be the best thing for you to stay away from? I'm not just crying wolf, friends. I know what I'm talking about.
This is the end of Part A. Please play Part B. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.